Our age is one of technology and communications. Computers and telephones link the whole world together. Some 6 billion people are today able to speak to one another with the help of technology. Scientists are working on new projects aimed at taking communication technologies even further ahead. But there is such an extensive communications network on Earth that some 100 billion users are constantly in communication by means of it. These users establish trillions of links to facilitate communication. There are no connection problems here similar to those on computers. The users never rest. The electricity supply is never cut off. It is the brain. This glorious communication network you possess began being installed before anyone was even aware of your existence. Development accelerated with your birth, and the number of networks established has been increasing every day ever since. As you grow older, your experiences shape your brain, and your brain shapes you. It makes it possible for you to maintain the powerful bond with your surroundings that you will use now and in the future. In this documentary, we will be witnessing that flawless structure of the brain, one of the most important elements of human life. This baby is just 3 weeks old. Even its mother may not yet be aware of its existence, but there is a huge movement and change going on in its entire body. In this period, the cells rapidly multiply and change. The spinal column also begins to take shape in this period. The cells that grow fastest in the fourth week are brain cells, in other words, neurons. Some 500,000 neurons form every minute. Neurons are the longest lived group of cells and live with us, without ever being renewed throughout the course of our lives. The neurons leave the spinal column at the end of the fourth week, and another great miracle takes place here. Neurons are fully aware of where to go and what to do on this journey. They never lose their way. There is no room for error in this process. So how is it that neurons with no eyes to see or ears to hear find their way without getting lost? There's absolutely no possibility of such an immaculate journey taking place by chance. The answer is clear for anyone of reason and good conscience. Every cell in the human body was created for a special purpose, and specially located where it could perform that task. Every detail in the human body is the work of Allah's creative artistry. As revealed in the Quran, "I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. What is in the heavens and in the earth belongs to Allah. Allah encompasses all things." One of the flawless structures in the brain is the glial cells that assist the neurons. Glial cells are made up of fibers that permit them to act much faster than neurons. We can compare these fibers to a highway which the neurons proceed down. Through this highway, the neurons proceed to the correct address in a convoy This traffic never becomes snarled up, and there are never any accidents, because every neuron sets out in perfect order, using the information encoded within it at the right time and in the right manner. This journey undertaken by the neurons is literally like a migration. The neurons that reach the outside of the spinal column now begin forming layers and establishing the brain.
You can think about development like a play. A play that follows a script that is written down by the genetic code, but it has no director, it has no producer, and it has a bunch of actors that have never spoken their lines before. Despite all this, you pull the play off. To me, that's a miracle.
Once the baby has spent 6 months in its mother's womb, almost all its organs have taken shape. Its hands, nose, heart, and brain. Brain growth is very fast in this period. The number of neurons in the brain has reached 100 billion. Trillions of connections are established between them, and the number of these connections continue to grow non-stop throughout life. Science is still unable to explain how these connections are established. The electric currents that form between the neurons permit uninterrupted communication between the brain and body. This is the moment when the baby first opens its eyes to the world. A long period of learning now awaits it. The baby will learn how to use its eyes, ears, and feet. At the same time, it will develop the ability to speak and think, which Allah bestows on human beings alone. To that end, it will make use of the nerve cells that constantly multiply and establish connections between them during its 9 months in the mother's womb. The sense of smell is one of the first to develop. That is how a two-day-old baby recognizes its mother. The last sense to develop is sight. The world is not at all clear to the eyes of a newborn baby. The baby only begins to see its surroundings like an adult when it is 6 months old. It can now follow moving objects and perceive depth. The neurons constantly store information during the baby's maturation. The brain of an 11-month-old baby is now mature enough to distinguish culture and spoken language. Some neuron networks are used more than others during this process. Some of these networks grow strong and multiply, while those that are not used disappear. How does a nervous system that is far more complex than all the computers in the world actually work? The nervous system consists of some 100 billion of neurons and the trillions of connections between them. Let us try to imagine what trillions of networks really means. Imagine you are exchanging messages with a friend over the internet. Then another friend joins in. Now let us expand on that a bit. All the 16 million people living in Istanbul are exchanging internet messages with one another at the same time. And imagine that all this traffic is intended to serve a common purpose. And let this communication continue uninterrupted for a whole lifetime. Now let us increase the number of cities to 62,000. Let us now try to envisage a network made up of 62,000 cities the size of Istanbul, all in constant communication with one another. That is the brain. The nervous system is divided into two parts, the peripheral and the central nervous system. The peripheral nervous system transmits information obtained from everywhere in the body to the brain at an enormously high speed. The 1 billion or so neurons that make up the spinal column are charged with this task. The neurons that surround every point of the body, the arms, legs, and internal organs, in such a way as to establish a communication network, establish a link between the brain and the body. The nerves that extend to everywhere in our bodies enable the whole body to function in harmony and to maintain its equilibrium. The central nervous system, on the other hand, is a highly complex command center in which all the data arriving from the body are analyzed and where decisions are taken in the light of that information. There are some 85 billion neurons in the central nervous system. The brain, the most important component of this system, constitutes just 2% of the body's mass. And billions of neurons have been created such as to fit into this small and confined organ. The main workers in the system are microscopic cells, just 1/200th of a millimeter in size. When these combine together, they permit the operation of the brain, many of whose function are still a mystery. And most important of all, it is merely a group of cells, not conscious human beings, that make up this glorious communication network. There are antennae known as dendrites on the brain cell membranes that perceive the messages reaching them. The antennae are connected to a main body at one end, and at the other end of that body is a switchboard, the axon, that disseminates information at the other end. The shape of neurons depends on where they are and what they do. For example, the axon that will transmit a message from the spinal column to the arm is 1 meter long, while another axon stretching from the eye to the brain is just 5 centimeters long. The information collected by millions of neurons to the sense organs is transmitted to the brain at an amazing speed. Just 1/50th of a second. They use electrical and chemical signals in doing this. There may be between 100 and 10,000 antennae in a brain cell. This number rises or falls according to requirements. The antenna catch the information coming from the cell and send it to the switchboard at the other end. The switchboard or the axon end has sacs for distributing information. These are all full of neurotransmitters that convert the electrical signal into a chemical one. Two neurons are separated by a synaptic gap. This space you are looking at now is in fact just 1/50th of a millimeter in size. The neurotransmitters jump across these gaps from one cell to another and enable communication between the two cells. There are receivers at one end of the cell and transmitters at the other. The neurotransmitters at the transmitter end are stimulated by an electrical signal, and with that signal, a molecular flow or bombardments start from the axon end. The other cell surface is covered with receivers in a manner very reminiscent of a tulip. When the molecules arrive here, the receiver leaves open and permits the molecules to enter inside. There is a single door for each molecule to enter by. The molecule and door it will enter by have been created to fit one another, like a lock and key, and no transmitter can enter by a door belonging to any other. The molecules set up a new electric current in receiver cells. The information has been transmitted to the other cell, and the neurotransmitter's work is finished. The molecules whose work is finished return to their own nerve cells by a special door belonging to their own type, and that different neurotransmitters can never use. Neurons need to be nourished if they are to perform all their functions in a perfect manner. Brain cells are nourished with just pure glucose and water. If the oxygen needed does not reach the neurons, the transmission of data is interrupted. Because glucose, the neurons' fuel, can only become usable in the presence of sufficient oxygen. The sugar cannot be used when there is insufficient oxygen. In such an event, information is either stored slowly or not at all. And that can be described slow perception or being quick to forget. The neurons are not alone in the nervous system. Glial cells are charged with supporting and protecting the brain cells. In terms of mass, half the brain consists of glial cells. Since these are much smaller than brain cells, their numbers are 10 times greater. Some glial cells help with the nourishing of the neurons. Others form a sheath known as myelin around the axons. This sheath increases conductivity at the endpoints as it isolates the lateral surfaces of the axons transmitting electrical signals. In other words, information is transmitted to the neurons at great speed and with little loss. Following the same logic, all present-day communications equipment and medical devices use specially insulated fiber cables to increase speed and minimize loss. The aim is to seek to reduce data transfer duration with the help of these cables. The discovery of fiber cables is of great importance in the spread and speed of technology. But when we look at the human body, all the details have been considered and installed in exactly the right places while it is still in its mother's womb. In exactly the same way that the myelin sheath is created only around cerebral neurons, just where it needs to be, in the most perfect form. One group of glial cells are responsible for protecting the nervous system against foreign bodies and microorganisms. The cells in this group surround foreign bodies and literally digest them. What we have touched on so far is too little to be even considered a simple summary of the brain functions that we know about. And what scientists today do know about the brain is just the tip of the iceberg. The brain has a most complex and sublime structure. It is clearly a miracle of creation, and it is irrational, in a word. For man, on whom such an extraordinary organ has been bestowed, to depict this structure as the work of chance, or to seek to explain it in terms of the theory of evolution. This is how the Quran refers to people who deny Allah, our Creator, by falling prey to this irrational belief.
I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan.
Does not man see that we created him from a drop? Yet there he is, an open antagonist. He makes likeness of us and forgets his own creation, saying, who will give life to bones when they are decayed? Say, he who made them in the first place will bring them back to life. He has total knowledge of each created thing. Childhood is when the brain grows fastest, because that is when the ability to speak and read, some of the greatest blessings bestowed on human beings by Allah, will develop and start to be used. During this period, the brain wishes to record everything perceived by way of the sensory organs. That is why there are twice as many neuron networks in a child's brain compared to that of the adult brain. Learning takes place by neuron network recognizing one another. A child's regular development is directly correlated to the extent to which the networks recognize one another. For example, it first crawls, then walks, and then begins to run. The child also acquires a series of social and mental skills during this time, such as making friends, concentrating on one point, and remembering events. But no learning process during these years is as complex and miraculous as speech. How does a child begin to speak? Could this function, managed by the brain, have emerged as a result of a series of random events? All the evidence shows that the answer is no. The brain is the work of a flawless creation. Allah reminds us of this sublime creation in a verse.
I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan.
Allah brought you out of your mother's wombs, knowing nothing at all, and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts, so that perhaps you would show thanks. The ability to speak is managed by neurons in the left hemisphere of the brain. The fundamental order that makes speech possible appears in the brain from the moment of birth. However, the baby begins to speak at the end of a specific process of development because, as in the example of computer networks, the brain has to accumulate and record the necessary number and type of data. There is an unbreakable bond between memory and speech. You cannot speak without memory. Brain records information in the memory by two different processes: long and short-term memory. Long-term memory begins to develop at about the age of 2. Since the development of speech is directly related to the development of memory, the child also begins speaking in the proper sense at the age of 2. Contrary to popular opinion, the brain does not record everything among its folds and store it for use until the end of life. A great deal of information that is not considered significant, not used or not repeated, is erased after storage for a certain length of time in the short-term memory. All the information from the senses is collected in the region of the brain known as the hippocampus. If no significance can be attached to a piece of data in the light of previous experience, then it is erased after remaining in the region for a while. For example, we hear a conversation in a language that we do not understand and cannot attach significance to, and since the conversation is of no use to us, it does not remain in our memories for long. Some information is needed for a limited time and stored in the memory for so long as it is used. This may be a minute, or an hour, or a day, or 3 years. Such information may include a mathematical formula learned for a test or a computer password. All this kind of information is kept in short-term memory and erased when no longer needed. Long-term memory contains information sent from the hippocampus to the cortex. Every new record in the cortex sets millions of neurons that completely surround the cortex into action. In this way, the hippocampus establishes harmony between new and old information. New information is recorded in lower levels of tissue, to the extent that it is compatible with previous experience. The recording process does not take place as a whole. The brain first breaks down an image or piece of information to be recorded into basic parts.
because each part will be stored in the relevant part of the cortex. An apple, for example, its shape, color, taste, and smell are filed away in different regions of the brain. When required, or when a single feature belonging to that apple is encountered, the concept of the apple as a whole and all the details within that concept are recalled from memory. We call this remembering. This process of remembering generally takes place so fast that we are unaware that we are remembering anything.
Sometimes, as when we try to remember the name of a film we watched 10 years ago, we may have to think for a whole day, and sometimes remember things hours later. Today, we're able to watch the brain as it works with the help of advanced imaging techniques, and we thus know which parts of the cortex are responsible for which jobs. This region, for example, analyzes images from the eye. This part regulates data signals from the sense of touch. This area right next to it manages muscle movements. Speech is regulated solely in these two points on the left of the brain. Over the last 10 years, only these limited area of operation of the cortex layer have been illuminated. This large remaining area still contains a great many mysteries. Another complex phenomenon of the childhood period is the development of the ability to read. In order for reading to take place, several very different regions of the brain have to work together simultaneously. The first stage of the reading process involves the eye and the function that is seeing. We make use of 30 different points in the brain just to be able to see. These regions interpret color, movement, shape, distance, and depth. In reading, we make use of all these subsystems. We perceive the letters one by one and interpret groups of them as words. And then we understand the sentence made up by the combination of all these words. The brain arranges what is read, forms a theme, and then produces a new composition by making use of millions of previous records, which may be with or without images. All these systems become active at the same time, outside our consciousness, and an interruption to just one of these systems will make it impossible to make out a single letter. In short, it is with the help of this glorious system bestowed by Allah that a person is able to read a single word. A person who knows this will read every word in knowledge with the awareness of what Allah reveals in the Quran.
I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Recite in the name of your Lord, who created man from clots of blood. Recite, and your Lord is the most generous. Adolescence covers the years between 12 and 20. The brain has now completed its physical growth and weighs some 1,400 grams. We can examine the structure of this mature brain under three sections: the right and left hemisphere, the brainstem, and the cortex. The brainstem is a bridge between the central nervous system and the brain. The stem is subdivided into several different regions. The tiny components that make up the stem are responsible for amazing functions. The cerebellum that lies here is responsible for balance and muscle movements. It is with the help of the cerebellum that we are able to stand on 2 feet and walk. Such a vitally important organ comprises just 10% of our brains. The medulla controls heartbeat and respiration. It is this tiny piece of the brain which is ignorant of where the heart is and what it does, that determines how often it beats. The thalamus establishes communication and coordination between the brainstem and the cerebral hemispheres. The hypothalamus is responsible for such primary biological functions as controlling body temperature, blood pressure, weight, hunger, and thirst. It is a piece of flesh weighing just 4 grams and containing billions of cells that perform all these functions. But how is it that such tiny organs are able to establish bodily equilibrium and carry out all the functions that allow the body to work in such a flawless manner and at just about the right time? The answers to all these questions lie in the knowledge of Allah, who creates and flawlessly gives shape to all things. The left hemisphere of the brain controls the right side of the body, and the right hemisphere controls the left. The hemispheres are mirror images of one another, though there are significant functional differences between them. For example, the regions that regulate speech lie in the left hemisphere, and those regulating perceptions of space in the right. The internal parts of the hemispheres are responsible for many different functions. These include learning, memory, maintaining the body's core temperature, controlling the body's hormonal systems and emotional reactions. The highest control point of the central nervous system is the folds that first come to mind when one thinks of the brain. This structure that resembles a crumpled up piece of paper is the cortex. The cortex is 1 millimeter thick and consists of gray cells. Laid out flat, this layer of the brain covers an area of 1.5 meters. It is this 1 millimeter thick layer that enables human beings to read, think, and plan ahead. One important point about the cortex is that it is unique to human beings. There is no such layer in the chimpanzees and other monkeys that Darwinists refer to as the supposed close relatives of man. All these layers of the brain are too perfect to be designed by any scientist and too complex to have come about by chance. Every detail in the brain has been specially created. Every rational person will see that such a flawless system is the work of a conscious creation. This is the incomparable creation of Almighty Allah, Lord of the earth, the sky, and everything between. At the end of the maturation period, the brain has acquired all its fundamental experiences. The information stored in the cortex is used for all kinds of decisions and strategies. The main difference in the mature brain lies in the emotions. Our emotions are stored in the depths of the brain, like all other long-term information. Anger, happiness, fear. They are all encoded in different places. All the emotions are with us right from birth, and these are all blessings and tests bestowed on us by Allah. Fear, for example, keeps one from danger. Happiness allows us to appreciate and protect the good things we possess. The information reaching us through our sensory organs are turned into electric signals after a long series of processes and interpreted in the relevant parts of our brain. It is as a result of this interpretation that we see people, smell flowers, or hear the rustle of the leaves in the breeze. In other words, there are actually no tastes or sounds or images. All we can find in our brains is electric signals. From the moment we are born, we encounter a brightly colored world all around us. But the fact is that there is not a single color in the whole universe. Colors form in our brains. All that exists on the outside is electromagnetic waves of different lengths. In other words, the colors we perceive exist within us. We can never know the true nature of matter. Is it as we see it? Is the green of a leaf the same on the outside? So what is the conscious entity that watches the images shown to it in the darkness and silence inside the brain, and is able to think, draws conclusions, and makes decisions? It is obvious that it is not the brain, made up of water, lipid, and protein, and unconscious atoms, that perceives all this and is responsible for consciousness. There must be a very different entity beyond the brain. That entity experiences everything so realistically that nobody hearing a sound realizes he is not experiencing the original. That entity is the soul, created by Allah with this sublime knowledge. Brain is just a tool by which the characteristics of the soul emerge. Materialists who deny that fact seek to depict the soul as just a function of the brain. The fact is, however, that research into the brain over the last 100 years has refuted that materialist claim. Human consciousness cannot be reduced to the brain and cannot be explained in terms of brain functions. That is why materialists are helpless when they have to account for consciousness. After years of study, one of these researchers, Wilder Penfield, reached the conclusion that the existence of spirit is an undeniable fact. After years of striving to explain the mind on the basis of brain action alone, I have come to the conclusion that it is simpler and far easier to be logical if one adopts the hypothesis that our being does consist of two fundamental elements, brain and mind, or soul. I am forced to choose the proposition that our being is to be explained on the basis of two fundamental elements, brain and mind, or body and soul. This fact arrived at by scientists is nothing other than another way of expressing a reality revealed by Allah in the Quran 1,400 years ago. Allah revealed that He creates human beings together with the body and then breathes a soul into them. I seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. He who has created all things in the best possible way. He commenced the creation of man from clay, then produced his seed from an extract of base fluid, then formed him and breathed his spirit into him, and gave you hearing, sight, and hearts.